little past noon. Good afternoon, I'm Catherine Lake. Not as familiar a voice as you might think, but I have been on the show a few times, the radio station, and of course do production here. And Steve Bertrand is on his holiday break, of course, and has allowed me to take over the Wind Trust business lunch today. Very excited. Thank you for being with me. Going to talk about a lot of different things for 1 hour. Last-minute gift ideas, of course, carrying on the tradition of the morning show with Steve Cochran and the girls after that. And we'll just keep doing that. And also happiness. At some point, we're going to have somebody here to talk about happiness. Now, if you would, Veronica and Beyonce and Yoon, keep yourselves handy. Be ready, because I really do want to talk with you as well about these last-minute gift ideas. So stay handy. But right now, before we get to the happiness bit, let's talk with Ian Scher from CNET. Now, he is on line 7, right? There we go. And he's the executive editor of CNET News. Hello, Ian.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
So I'd like to talk with you a little bit about last-minute gift ideas as well, but let's also online abuse. I have been shopping nonstop, of course, for the last 30 days online, and I know better than this, than to use my ATM card to purchase them. But there are still ways that things can go wrong. Is that right?
Well, yeah, there are many ways that things can go wrong. But probably what's most fascinating is that hackers spend a lot of time kind of preparing for the holidays. I don't know if you're aware, but about 40% of hacks that happen and online abuse of hacking that happens happens in the 3 months that are happening right now, October, November, December.
Really?
And so in the hackers, this is like their Super Bowl. And part of that is because we are all running around looking for the best deals we can get. And if we don't get the best deal, we're going to go to another website and we're going to say, oh, who has free shopping? Who has an extra percentage off? And so what happens is that these hackers will actually create websites that look legitimate and try to get your information. And, you know, they're going to try and get a lot of things. They're either going to try and get your credit card so they can quickly turn around and use it, or they're going to try and gather information about you, like where you live or who your family members are. Because when they know those types of things, they can attack other parts of your life. They can get into your PayPal account or some other bank account that has, you know, says what's your mother's maiden name or
right, right, right.
Like that.
That and
so
passwords.
Those,
passwords,
yeah.
If you use your sister's name or something like that. Once all that information is out there, you can't take it back. You
right,
got to get
exactly.
better passwords.
And that's one of the biggest problems with a lot of this stuff. And, of course, because we are all kind of running around trying to find the best deals, we're not thinking as straight as maybe we should. And so that's why on CNET we actually have a lot of things around, you know, telling you, look, keep your antennas high and keep your spidey sense going. And when something doesn't look 100% legitimate, or if a deal looks too good to be true, odds are it is,
yeah.
And you're going to get in trouble.
Exactly.
And so those are the big things to always remember whenever you're dealing with this stuff.
You know, the tricky part about passwords, I have probably 2,000 favorite sites favorited on my Mozilla, on my Firefox, and it is so hard to keep up with the passwords. The temptation is to have one password.
Of course, which is the worst thing you can do.
The worst thing you can do.
If you have one password, then once someone gets access to that one password, they can go anywhere. And that's, by the way, one of the other things they always try is that when hackers get into a poorly secured site, or they somehow get a database of information that includes your passwords, the first thing they're going to do is go to your bank, go to PayPal, go all these things and try and use that password, because they know most people use the same password everywhere they go. And it doesn't matter how tough that password is. If you're using it in more than one site, it doesn't help you at all, right?
Come all.
The same key everywhere,
yeah.
And you just hand them the key.
Yeah.
And so the good news is though, that the technology industry is trying to make this stuff better, and they're doing it in different ways. One of the ways is that there are these apps out there now you can get that we've written about on CNET.com. One of them is called 1Password. It's literally the number 1Password. And another one's called LastPass. And both of them do roughly the same thing, which is that they will help you create randomized passwords, completely randomized, and then they'll keep them in a database. And what happens is that database is secured with what we call encryption, which basically jumbles up all the information so it can't be seen by someone other than you, and it's protected behind a single password. But the beauty part is that database sits on your computer. It's not out on the internet. It's not sitting out somewhere else. It lives on your computer.
Is that so? Because I have LastPass, and I wondered about the security of LastPass and PS.
Right. So
I
LastPass
find it a little
went
complicated.
Through a little bit of trouble recently, right? They had a hack happen to them.
See?
Where they even and that underscores even the harder problem, right? Which is even these people whose job it is to be secure sometimes have things happen. But the good news is that LastPass said that none of the encrypted passwords were actually accessed, so they were perfectly fine. But it's still a scary thing out there, right? So some of the things the technology industry are doing, for example, is that if you have an iPhone or you have an earlier version Samsung, for example, at one of the newer ones, they have fingerprint sensors on them, right?
Yeah, I can't make mine work. I cannot make mine work.
You have to get it to work. But once you do, those fingerprint sensors work as a very good way to get away from having to use a password. Now, the Apple requires you to have a password, even though, just in case, for example, your finger falls off and you still need to access your phone.
Nice thought. That's great.
But they're trying their best. Another example is Yahoo. You all may remember that one from a couple of years ago, right?
I do remember.
They have an app that will actually send you a one-time use password. So what you do is you try and log into your email, and what it'll do if you set it up is that it'll send you a randomized single password that works for like 60 seconds. And you type it in, and you're able to access your email. But then that password goes away. It's no longer usable. And so the whole idea is that they're trying to make it easier for you to be able to access their stuff, not have a password at all. But instead, what it'll do is it knows that your phone is yours, right?
The hacker
probably isn't going to get access to your phone physically. And so they can send you a text message or use an app to send you a message to get that password. And so that's how the technology industry is trying to solve this. Now, the sad part is that they haven't done the truly wonderful thing, which is just dump them all and somehow know that we are who we are.
Right.
But they're trying to get closer. And it's interesting because a lot of this technology has been used in the military for years, right? The military have, for example, access cards that they have to put into a keyboard, and then they have to put in a password and all that stuff. And that's been going on for decades. But us normal consumers don't want to deal with that.
No, and the number of passwords you have to try and keep track of, it's just untenable.
It's untenable, which is why people like 1Password and LastPass exist.
Yeah, yeah.
But over time, hopefully, the technology industry believes that they're going to be able to get rid of passwords over time, and hopefully, you know, we'll say hopefully the next generation of people won't have to deal with them. But in the meantime, it really what's smart is always you have to make sure you have different passwords in every website you go to, and it doesn't matter how strong the password is. The stronger the better, of course, because it's harder to hack. But and if you have there's a great list actually LastPass puts out every year of all of the most common passwords.
Yes,
right?
If you're using this, you're an idiot.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yes,
or you know. A lot of them are generic names like
right.
You know, Ann Smith or whatever. And so, you know, you think you're being smart and oftentimes you're not. It's much better to use one of these programs that randomizes the password, protects it in a database, and then you use it whenever you need to go to these websites. And just to deal with that for now until the better stuff comes online.
Very good. We're talking with Ian Scher from CNET News. He's the executive editor there and talking about some tech issues as you're doing your last minute online shopping or any place else for that matter or for any other reason. So, Ian, can you stick with us for a little longer?
Of course.
Okay, stay right there. I'm going to hold you. Let's see. I'm not going to drop you. I'm going to hold you, and then we're going to take a quick break. I'm Catherine Lake in for Steve Bertrand on the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN.
If you or someone you know is addicted to drugs or alcohol,
there you go. Beyonce. I'm Catherine Lake, in for Steve Bertrand for the Wintrust Business Lunch. A quick hour here. Yuntai is my producer today. Veronica Carter's on news. I'd like to hear from all of you at one time or another about some of the good gifts that you have decided that you're going to go grab as you leave the studio today, because you blew it and didn't get it done early. I've got a few. I've got to make a few stops myself. And we're talking with Ian Scher from CNET, the executive editor there, CNET News. And do I have you back on, Ian?
I'm here.
Oh, terrific. We were just talking about online abuse before, password management. And I like your recommendation to use a password manager, because that random password is really the only way to go. But I've got a couple other questions for you. Do you know anything about the hoverboard issue, the hoverboard catching fire thing, because
Oh my, do I ever.
Ian, I used to sell Segways. I was the first person to bring Segway tours to Chicago years ago. And now there are probably, what, six, seven, eight operators of different tour operators of Segway in Chicago.
And there are a bunch of them in San Francisco, of course.
Oh, they're all over the country. There's probably 300 of them now. But yeah. I was the one. So I know all about self-balancing. I know all about gyroscopes. I know all about lithium batteries. And I suspect you're going to tell me it's the lithium battery that is the issue with the hoverboards, which is the same thing as a Segway, except without a stick.
You're absolutely correct. And actually, it's ironic because they're not just like a Segway. What's fascinating, I think, about these hoverboards, which are what they call them, even though, let's be honest, they don't hover at all.
They don't hover at all.
Is that what's amazing about them is that they don't use the advanced gyroscopic technology that the Segway invented.
Really?
What they use is that they actually simply use, and NPR had a great story about this, where they simply use the your feet. And what happens is that when you push forward with your foot, it's like an accelerator. There are two different platforms for each of your feet. And when you push forward, it tells it to move the right wheel. And when you push back, it tells it to move the right wheel backward. And the same thing with your left foot. And so what happens is that you become the gyroscopic stabilizer in your head, right? And it's actually using the way that your body naturally tries to stay upright and moving your feet to do it, which is fascinating.
No, but that sounds like the same thing.
Which means Segway spent millions of dollars inventing something that we no longer use. But never mind.
Come on. It sounds like the same technology. You lean forward to go and lean back to stop. How is that different?
Right. What's different is that you're using two different platforms. So instead of a gyroscope that manages one platform and makes sure that it's upright, this is using two different ones that your body uses to make sure you stay upright.
Oh,
so
literally sliding.
Instead of having an advanced computer do all the work, your brain's doing the work instead, and it's doing it naturally. You don't have to think about it.
That's pretty cool.
Which is what's fascinating about it, right? So that's why it's so cheap, right? A Segway costs X million, X thousands of dollars, and a hoverboard can cost you as little as 300. But there's a problem. Right, which is these batteries. So the hoverboard manufacturers, there are so many of them. If you go to Amazon right now, you will find more than you can ever imagine. And part of the thing is that when a lot of the Chinese manufacturers out there realized that hoverboards were becoming a thing, they started manufacturing like bananas. And so what happened was that suddenly you had a bunch of people trying to cut costs, trying to lower the price as much as possible. And when it comes to batteries, as you well know, it's all chemistry, right?
Yep.
It's all about making sure that it's a protective film between the pieces of the battery and making sure that the energy is being stored correctly. And when you don't do that, even a little bit, everything can go kablooey.
Even a little bit.
And so that's what's happening, right, is that we've got these poor quality batteries being shipped in these devices. And, you know, these are devices that we're using to go drive down the road. And so people are getting in trouble. Some of them have exploded in people's homes and burned down homes.
Oh.
There's one person who's been attributed to a death around it already. And there, I mean, if you go to YouTube and you look up hoverboard fire, there are just so many videos out there.
Of these
and
things
so,
just exploding, literally exploding like a little fireworks display in your garage.
Well, and that's the thing, right? There's so much energy pent up inside a battery that when there's a fire, it becomes extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
And the worst part, of course, is that people don't know how to deal with electrical fires, which anyone who's dealt with, you know, the fire brigade who's listening right now will say, of course, you cannot throw water on a fire that's electrical. And so
Why is that? Explain
that
for those who don't know.
It's actually going to cause the chemical reaction to be worse.
Okay.
Right. So what you need to do is snuff it out is usually the best answer.
Yep.
But the problem is, you know, it's like with anything, right? We're all taught how to handle fires in one way. But what it comes down to is that these batteries are very unsafe. And so unless you're dealing with a company that is well vetted and well reliable, that hoverboard that's under your tree may be very unsafe.
Seriously,
so
I mean, if it's literally under the tree, let me just ask it, Ian, if it's under the tree and it is not on, it is simply in a box just sitting there, it still could be unstable and still could suddenly erupt. Could.
Well, the problem is we don't know, right?
Okay.
There have been so many of these things that have gone bad for so many reasons that it's really, I hate to be alarmist, but we really don't know what could happen.
Okay.
And that's part of why you have Amazon in the UK, for example, telling people to just ditch their hoverboards immediately.
Okay.
And you have other places where it's becoming such a problem. United Airlines, a number of different airlines have said that they will not allow hoverboards on the airplanes.
Uh-huh.
Which,
no,
I mean,
that's
gosh,
smart.
Right?
No, that's just,
you're not allowed to bring it on a airplane. Why would you put it under your tree?
But then
the same thing. There are also the United States Postal Service said that they would not allow them on airplanes as well. So they're only moving them through ground transportation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
This is all very bad indicators of these devices not being safe.
Okay, message received. We're going to wait on hoverboards till maybe next year.
Exactly.
Okay.
And if you really need to get one because you want to be Justin Bieber, then I would recommend you go on CNET.com. We have a list of the ones that we believe are safe. And, you know, we can't guarantee 100%, but they look like the ones who are good companies so far.
And keep them in your garage, not near the gas. Okay, got it. Ian, thank you so much for your time up today. I really appreciate it. Ian Scher from CNET News. And I hope we'll talk to you again soon.
Definitely.
Have a wonderful holiday. Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break on the Wintrust Business Lunch. I am Catherine Lake, in for Steve Bertrand on WGN. Veronica, I gave you a list of happiness.
Which was a great Christmas present. Who gets a list of happiness?
Right, a list of happiness. I give it to you. It's all for you. It's Catherine Lake. I'm in for Steve Bertrand on the Wintrust Business Lunch. This is going to be sort of a kind of a jump around kind of business lunch, not your typical business lunch. I'll be back on the 28th, though, to do probably what's more traditionally done for the Wintrust Business Lunch. But for now, just chatting. And I did drop off a list of happiness quotes. Was there any one of them that you got a glance at that you thought really hit it for you?
Well, the ones I tend to like are the ones that talk about spreading happiness.
I like that.
You know, because it is contagious.
And I've read a couple of quotes on that same, you know, 8-page list that I dropped off. There are some people that say happiness does not come from you finding what you want. It comes from you attempting to give to somebody else.
Right.
And then there's directly contrary quotes saying, don't worry about other people. If you are happy, you will bring happiness outward from yourself. It's very confusing. It's very confusing. So we needed to find somebody to help us understand all this.
There's one, I don't know if it's on here. I didn't go through every page, but this is one that I had written down ages ago because I'm very much into the power of positivity.
Nice.
And we are shaped by our thoughts. We become what we think. When the mind is pure, joy follows.
I like that. Now, who said that?
That's Buddha.
Oh, I see. He's in here somewhere. There is something from him in here as well. Where did I see that? Buddha. There it is. Happiness comes when your work and words of benefit to yourself and to others.
And that's, again, the spreading the happiness thing.
Yeah.
Because being sour is contagious as well.
Exactly. I have one last-minute gift idea that I want to put out there that really amused me that I read online. I was thinking about 12 o'clock noon on Christmas Eve. What are most people doing? Well, they're probably traveling to where they're going to be for Christmas Day if they are celebrating Christmas somewhere. And a lot of people are at the airport. Perhaps you've got your iPod on, listening to WGNradio.com through your iPod. And if you are at one of those stores at the airport and you see a deck of cards, pick it up, get a Sharpie, and write 52 reasons you love somebody on each card. How adorable is that?
That is sweet.
Come on, that's last minute, I can just do it before I land kind of idea.
That's a lot of writing, though. I mean,
it is a lot.
Right now, if you pick the best person in your life and try to come up with 52 reasons.
Exactly. Exactly. It's exactly. Well, I think we need some guidance on this whole thing. A happiness coach, Gina Marotta?
Marotta.
Is here with us today. And thank you so much for taking time on your Christmas Eve to be here.
So happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Really appreciate it. So you are an intuitive guide and a happiness coach. You're a therapist, it sounds like to me. No?
I'm not a therapist, exactly. But, you know, it's in that realm of helping people and finding their own inner voice and healing.
Very good. And this is especially appropriate for the holidays because, as most people now do understand, it is not simply a joyous time for everybody all the time. It can be stressful.
That's right.
It can be sad.
Yes.
What if you lost a loved one on Christmas or near Christmas? I've lost every dog I've ever owned near Christmas because they get overexcited and they're old and that's the time they say, oh, everybody's here, I'm gone. So I know that holidays can be tough on a lot of people. So that's why it's especially appropriate to have you here today.
Yes. And I have a few particular areas of stress that I can talk about, and I have some do's and don'ts to share about them.
Love to hear about them. Go right ahead. Let's start.
Yeah. So three particular stressors that people are dealing with in the holiday season, they're actually stresses we have every day, but they become amplified over the holidays. So the first, kind of two that go together: time and money pressure.
Oh, that's always there.
That's always.
I don't have enough time,
right?
Or money. Yeah,
right. So we're already at a stress level with time and money, one or both. And when the holidays come around, what do we have? We have parties to go to. We have gifts to buy. We have to go get an outfit to wear for the party.
You have to dress the kids for the party.
Right, right. There's all these things to do. So when you are already stressed out about time and money, guess what happens when now you have this added, supposed to be happy time, but more time and money being strained from you?
That makes perfect sense.
Yes.
I'm feeling a little more stressed right now. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
We're going to give you some do's or don'ts.
Okay,
I'm not
good.
Leaving you hanging, girl.
Okay, get me.
Okay. All right, so then the third piece that really stresses us out is, guess what? It's family.
Yeah.
So again, they may stress us all year round,
yeah.
Right, in particular ways, but we're going to spend more time with them around the holidays, and we're stressed, they're stressed. Guess what? We're all showing up at Christmas dinner, like, ready to blow our lids.
I have a five-year-old going on 13, so that's one stressor for me,
right,
thank you.
Totally.
And buying her gifts. And I already gave her one gift this morning, and almost, she was so good. She's only five, and she was so good, she didn't cry. But I could see in her face, wow, thanks for the puzzle, Mom. And I was like, oh, wow. And I've got two more, and she's not going to like either one of them.
Right. Yes. I
it's
mean,
stressful.
That's stressful.
It is.
That's stressful.
Yes.
So I've got some tips for you.
Tell me.
Okay. So I'm going to give you sort of two strategies that these do's and don'ts fall under. The first strategy is create what is fun for you. This is going back to, you were asking that advice of, like, do you focus on yourself? Do you focus on everybody else?
Yes.
My advice is focus on what's fun for you.
What's fun for you.
Yes.
Focus on that for the holidays. This is just for the holidays.
Well, it's forever.
Is it? All right. So there you go.
But let me tell you why. This is going to make a lot of sense. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
When you do what's fun and feels good to you,
yeah.
How do you feel?
I feel really good.
Yes. And so how are you going to interact with the people around you?
Really well.
Yes. Right? And when you're not, if you're doing everything for everybody else, how do you feel?
Really good.
When you're doing for everybody else and you have these stress limits.
Really bad.
And you're not taking care of the things you need.
Really awful.
And you're doing what everybody else wants.
Getting worse.
Yes.
Okay.
So how do you interact with them?
Really bad.
Yes. So isn't the point that over the holidays we want to be loving and kind and joyful?
Yes.
Yes. So that is why it's not selfish. See, that's what we get worried about. It's
put
selfish.
The mask on you first.
Yes.
Be a happy
exactly
person.
Exactly.
Well, okay, so now how do you get yourself happy from the inside? You see, it is contradictory. I'm all confused again. It is contradictory. You want to make other people happy, and that makes you happy, but no, you can't be happy unless you have the oxygen mask on yourself. Come on. I need more.
Yeah.
I need more.
So, but if you, the truth is, if what makes us happy is spreading joy and happiness to others, we light up when we do things for others. So that is...
It's still in the
part
list.
Part of the list.
Okay,
yes, exactly.
Good.
Okay, all right. So the second strategy is know your boundaries that allow you to be happy.
Know when to say no. I had
yes
to say no to an organization. I was on a board of directors in an organization. And I finally, after boy calling wolf for a year, finally did it. And it was such a relief.
Yes.
Too little bandwidth for everything.
Yes.
So find your no's.
Yeah. And so around the holidays, you're going to have to say no.
Yeah.
Right?
Once
you're going to have to say no. You can't do everything and show up happy.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. We have happiness coach Gina Murata here, who's going to help us figure out how to survive these holidays. And we'll talk more with her in a little bit. But let's first check out what's going on with the traffic and this protest. Beyonce Fox.
Well, right now, the protesters are approaching Superior along northbound Michigan Avenue. A couple of hundred of protesters out there. Some are laying in the street on Michigan. There is a heavy police presence. Again, expect more activity throughout the afternoon. Beyonce Fox, WGN Traffic Central.
Very good. Thank you very much. And Veronica, I think we've got some news to check in. Let's get a look at that.
Where the markets are closed for the holiday, but we do have the Dow down 51 for the day. The NASDAQ up 2 and the S&P 500 index off by 3. Back to you.
Sorry about that, Veronica. I think I'm supposed to take a spot break first, and I will do that and then get to Orion Samuelson to look at the numbers here on WGN. The Wintrust Business Lunch. In for Steve Bertrand, I am Catherine Lake. We have happiness coach Gina Murata here, who is helping us negotiate the holidays, because as we all know, it's not always happy-go-lucky for the holidays. It's a good time. It's fun. The kids enjoy it. I can just barely taste what it felt like as a kid. that excitement. Oh, and my daughter's 5 years old now, so I'm witnessing it too. And it's a lot of fun, but it also can be stressful. And for this holiday, for all holidays, for all year, happiness coach Gina Marotta has the answers, how to find it, how to get it. Now, I have a list of quotes. I did some research before. I heard you were coming in, and I'm like, oh, I've got to research this. It's a big topic, happiness. How do you find it? How do you do it? And I like Ralph Waldo Emerson's Among the Best, to fill the hour, that is happiness. And that's what I did with this hour, with the business lunch. Mm-hmm. So I think I succeeded, but that's nice. But anyway, I would like to talk more. Let's go back to what you were saying. You have some very specific do's and don'ts about how to get through the holidays. I would say no politics in my family.
For sure, mine as well.
We're just split right down the middle. You know, the boys are all Republicans, the girls are all Democrats, just as it happens in my family. And we just skip it. Unless my brother's there, and then we pounce on him if we can.
Ah!
But other than that, yes, we try to skip the politics. What other tips do you have?
Yeah. So specifically, we're talking about the stress around time, money, and family. And so let's start with money. Don't spend more money than you can for the holidays. Like, it's just going to take you over the edge. Don't go into debt. I loved what you shared right before I came on about how this idea to go buy a deck of cards and fill in on the back.
Personal.
You know, the reason. Yes.
Personal.
That would cost you, what, $5 to
maybe
buy a deck of cards?
In the airport, maybe 10. But
yes. So that's one thing. The positive is, be creative with your holiday gifts. You don't have to spend a ton of money. I know that the commercials want to convince us that we do.
Yes.
But there are more heartfelt ways. There are creative ways to share gifts over the holidays.
There's nothing worse for me than getting a gift from somebody that I think, oh, well, she gave out 10 of those.
Right.
I'm grateful. Thank you. But the personalization and the low cost really is all about that for me.
Absolutely.
And I agree.
Absolutely. Don't make unrealistic plans that are totally time pressured, and don't do the things that you don't want to do for the holidays.
Yeah, if you're not into the zoo lights, don't plan it.
Right, exactly.
If you don't want to go, don't.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just not going to be happy, and no one around you will be happy.
Exactly. So on the other side of that, do set time limits. So I was saying earlier about happiness boundaries. There's things that you're going to have to say no to or limit your time in being. So maybe you have 3 different people you want to see on Christmas Eve, and you just set a limit. I can stay for an hour or two, and I've got to go.
Time limits,
Time limits are great, and they're boundaries to keep your own happiness, like we were saying. You don't get cranky. You don't get out of sorts. You can enjoy yourself and have fun.
And you forget how much time a child can focus, too. So when you're planning events for kids, don't think, well, this will take 2 hours.
Right.
It'll take about 10 minutes, really, when you get down to it. And then have a little break in between and then move on to the next act.
Yes.
I've learned that. I didn't know it before I had a child.
Right.
I'd forgotten that.
Yeah. And so that's part of it, is really like thinking through, like, what do I need here? What's going to work?
Yeah.
And planning that way.
And leaving time for air.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Another do is, do prepare for the difficult people you're going to face in the holidays. Don't put your head in the sand. Don't think it's going to be different this year. Be ready.
Okay.
Have strategies.
All
okay.
Right.
So one is just, like, know that you're going to have icky feelings around that person.
Mm-hmm.
And what can you do when it comes up? Take some deep breaths. Leave the room.
Leave a little space.
Leave some space.
Figurative and literal.
Exactly.
Yes.
Because another thing I have here to share as a don't is, don't take on other people's negative energy, feelings, issues. Right?
Well, let me ask you this. Once I look at it as this. This is my metaphor for disagreement with my spouse, with my family. A train has left the station, right?
Yes.
We're already on the track, and we are angry, and we need a moment. We're going to take a break, whatever it is. What other things besides taking a break? The wheel of choice, as they put it in a lot of therapeutic books. What other choices are there? Once the train has left the station, you've talked about politics, you vowed you wouldn't, you couldn't help it, your brother said something about Obama, and you just took the bait. How do you bring the train back into the station?
That's such a great question. Such a great question. One is, recognize it's happening, right? Because sometimes we just get so overpowered with our emotions that we're just, like you
said,
we're gone. So take a breath and stop.
Don't even speak. Just get out. Just walk away. Take a moment.
Well, but here's the thing. Ask yourself what you need.
Hmm.
What do you need? In that moment, do you need to say, I need a break. I'm going to take a time out. Do you need to say, I love you so much, but we cannot have this conversation right now because I'm going to lose my top and I love you. And
but
I don't want to say something I'm going to regret.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Just check in. What do you really need?
Right.
What do you really need?
And take that beat. And that's the hardest thing for me and my sister to do, is to take that beat before we take the bait.
Yes.
And other tools about do's and don'ts that you have on your list?
Yeah. So something else I want to add is this is more the proactive approach, right? We just talked about what do you do in the moment, but you can actually be proactive and fill yourself up so that when you walk in the door, you feel good, right? What makes you feel good? Do you need to exercise Christmas morning so that you feel good? Do you need to like sing in the shower, fill yourself up? Do you want to play with your kids and have some time at home before you go out into the craziness that is your family?
Mm-hmm.
So really think about, again, that's your own expression. What is that for you? Do you want to make sure that when you're with your family, you sing Christmas carols? Because that brings everybody's mood up.
It just does.
Yes. So think about the proactive steps to fill yourself up.
I like these ideas.
And I have one more bonus.
One bonus.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So notice over the holidays, what triggers you and what you're really struggling with?
Yeah.
Time, money, family, particular, like feeling lonely, not good enough. And then when you're going into 2016, have that go as a priority on your list.
Oh, so you're making a pseudo resolution.
Yes.
Based on the learning you have done over the holidays. Brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant.
So know that in the future, you are going to overcome this issue. Just, it's okay wherever you are today.
Personal happiness coach, Gina Marotta, an intuitive guide.
Yes.
If you want to learn more, it's Marotta, right? GinaMarotta.com.
Yes.
Gina,
yes.
Thank you for your time today. Go have a wonderful holiday.
Such a pleasure.
And don't take the bait.
Ah, happy holidays to everyone.
I'm WGN.